call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is the September 20th call of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Has anybody on the call not received a copy of the agenda? Does anybody have any suggested changes to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed. We're going to start with the first item, which is review working group drafts. And let me just frame this for everybody. I sent an email earlier describing...
Hi, guys. Peter here.
Who joined?
Hi, Peter.
Hi, guys. Chris is just joining. We're standing outside the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Finland, so we probably can't, and we probably can't stay very long.
Okay. That's fine. Well, I think I'm going to need the leaders of each working group in terms of reporting in, so it's fine that you're there, you're where you are, and Chris, you're where you are. We'll do whatever you can, and if you have to drop off, drop off, and we'll circle back with you.
Thank you, Chairman. I think probably the answer is to let Chris go first, if you wouldn't mind.
Certainly. What I was just about to tee off was the first item, which is reviewing working group drafts, and we want to accomplish basically things on the call. Who's just joined?
Hi, Brian. It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Bruce is the lady on the telephone call decided to call.
Not a problem.
Not Bruce.
Obviously, recognizing my Australian accent, decided I must be called Bruce.
Good day, Bruce.
Thank you.
The first item is to walk through the working group drafts, but it's a very narrow focus. We want to accomplish two things on this call. We want each working group leader to walk us through the questions that have been identified. We want to first see the questions that have been identified, and the follow-on is to look at the fact-checking that has to be done by each working group. That is to say, have you identified the individuals you need to interview? Do you know the documents and processes that you need to review in order to complete your work? So we want those two areas with each working group head today. You in a position to walk through the questions that have been developed or not?
Who are you asking?
Chris.
No, because I'm not. I'm standing outside the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Finland without a computer. So I apologize for that.
That's what I assumed. So, are you in a position? Do you have the document in front of you?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's on the Adobe Room also.
Very good. Alice, could you scroll that document down to the section of review questions? And Olivier, would you walk us all through the review questions that you drafted?
Sure. Sure. So you remember we are covering two areas, one on board composition and one on transparency. So there are two sets of questions. The questions on board composition are the following. Do current mechanisms for determining ICANN board composition ensure that collectively the board possesses an appropriate diverse set of skills and experience? Will changes in selection, composition, and compensation improve results? Are the desired skill, background, and experience adequately defined for representing constituency interest, for overseeing ICANN's mission and operation, for best practice in governance? Could the collective skill set of the directors be improved through the use of alternative selection mechanisms? Are current mechanisms for determining ICANN board composition effective in ensuring the board is representative of the stakeholder community? Are board selection mechanisms sufficiently transparent and accessible to stakeholders? Is the current board of optimal structure and size to ensure both effective representation of stakeholder interest and organizational decision-making? At board level, is there an appropriate balance in the representation of ICANN's various stakeholder groups? That are the question that Chris drafted for Area 1.
Good. Why don't you continue on with the questions for Area 2?
Okay.
Brian, Peter here. I'm just interrupting, I suppose. I'm not finding it terribly helpful to get a list of questions read out. The issue for tonight is to be clear that there are questions and that they're reasonably accurate. So can we talk about the questions rather than sort of having them read out?
Well, yeah, the follow-on question I have for each working group head is twofold. Are the questions that you've articulated reflect the entirety of section of 9.1 that your working group is focused on? That is, do we have a complete list of questions? If we don't have a complete list of questions, are there areas of 9.1 that are not addressed by a question? If so, why is that? That's where I want to go with this. Not so much a discussion of substance, Peter, because there's still fact-checking to do and analysis to do that will really add context to the question. So this is a working status, and I want to see whether there's completeness of the questions, and if not, why, and let's address that for starters.
Well, Brian, it's Chris. Let me say then that in both cases, in the case of Area 1 and Area 2, I think that whilst I think our questions are complete, I think that our working group itself needs to take a little time, not long, maybe a couple of days, to consider those questions themselves in some detail, because my sense of it is that it may be that at least in one or two cases the questions may, perhaps not the overarching questions, but the subsequent bullet points may actually be overstretching a little. And I put them in because I wanted them to be full, but I think there's still a little bit of discussion that needs to be had to perhaps slightly refine them, or even to decide that one or two of those questions may actually not be in scope.
And that's certainly one of the things we want to test, is whether the questions are... So in terms of the area of 9.1 of the AOC that Working Group 1 is responsible to address, do these two areas of review cover the entirety of that section of 9.1 that you're responsible to address, or are there gaps?
Well, Brian, it's Chris. There are always going to be gaps, because if we were going to try and cover every possible aspect, we'd be here until December next year, never mind about December this year. But on the basis that the working group, with buy-in from the team, has agreed that the two areas that we have chosen, the composition and transparency generally, are acceptable for this working group to cover, then the answer to that question is yes. And the next question is, do the specific sub-point questions fit within the mandate? And the answer to that is, at this stage, I'm not 100% certain. I mean, that there are a couple of areas that I think need a little bit of examination. But fundamentally, I think they do, but we might need to refine them a little.
Understood. Okay. Then I guess the next question that I want to move to, question number two, is, have you identified as a working group all of the potential entities that you want to speak to in the have you identified the universe and processes, ongoing processes you need to do in order to?
It's disappeared.
Okay, the question is, someone has a terribly noisy background. Oh, maybe that's... Is that you, Chris, outside?
I don't think so.
Okay. If you can hear me now, the question is, the group identified all of the interviewees it needs to speak to, and likewise, the documents and the processes it needs to review in order to complete.
Okay. In respect to interviewees, the answer to Area 1 is yes, I believe we have. In respect to Area 2, no, not yet, but we will have that sorted out in the next day or so. It's just a question of identifying. It's more to do with refining a very large list to come down to a number of people who are key to talking about general transparency. In respect to fact-checking, I think that for Area 1, the answer to your question is yes. We have, as far as I'm aware, identified all of the necessary documents, with the exception that, in respect to Area 1, we have. In respect to Area 2, which is transparency, we have an outstanding question to ICANN, which is the transparency page on the ICANN website up to date? Because the last document placed on that page is 2008. And I know that there's at least one additional matter, which I imagine is a board resolution, dealing with the publishing of the board papers, which has only very recently been agreed, but I don't yet have the reference to the board minute that deals with that. So we have an outstanding question in that respect, and if we can get an answer to that, then I suspect we will have completed that particular task.
Okay, great. The importance here is that with regard to interviewees, each working group is building a list, I believe, of potential interviewees. We have literally just about 10 days to get that piece of work done. So coming out of this call, I want to have a sense from each working group that they've identified the interviewees, there's sufficient time for them to speak to the people they need to speak to. If there's any challenge on that front, we need to identify it now. And secondly, with regard to all the interviewees, we need to be conscious of the fact that Self is interviewing individuals with respect to their case studies. We should have a shared awareness of the people that are being spoken to on the Berkman side and our side. So I'd like to build a complete list of all the target interviewees based within the next 10 days or so. Interviews done, assuming we can get on people's calendars. Chris, could you hear me?
Sorry, yes, I could hear you, but I wasn't clear that it was a question. My response, I suppose, is that in respect to the transparency side, where we don't yet have a list, we will have a list within 24 to 48 hours, and the moment that we do that, we'll start reaching out to make those necessary interviews. In respect to the board skill set side, we do have a list, and we'll start making outreach to those people ASAP.
Okay, thank you.
I sent some proposal, but I guess you didn't get the mail, Chris. We can discuss that when you. When are you going to be home?
Oh, home? Gosh, not till after Boston, Olivier. But I'll be on email constantly, so
okay.
I will check. I will check tonight.
Okay, we can discuss that then.
Okay, then when you have your list of interviewees complete for Area 2, in addition to Area 1. Please send that to the ATRT list so we see your complete list of interviewees. I'd like to compile that across the working groups.
Okay.
Thank you for that. We'll move on to working group 2. Chris, if you don't mind throwing your line on mute, it could be the outdoor noise that's coming across.
Will do.
Thanks much. Okay, working group 2.
Hi, Brian. Willie here. I think what we've done in the last week is really incorporate the additional questions that Berkman developed in their comments on Working Group 2's issue paper. What we haven't managed to do is entirely discuss some of the more conceptual points that they were raising, I guess largely because of the IGF. So we still have to have that discussion around some of the conceptual items that they raised around whether we have shifted the scope of work from doing our own independent analysis of the role and effectiveness of the GAC, as well as our analysis of how ICANN assesses the role in the GAC, role of the GAC. So there's a bit of work we still have to do on in response to some of those quite useful points that we raised in the midterm report from Berkman. And effectively what that meant in terms of the questions for review is adding on three questions that specifically relate to the joint working group between the board and the GAC. So if one just looks at the five questions we have in our latest draft, the first is posing the broad question, is ICANN adequately assessing the role and effectiveness of the GAC? Question three is saying, do the activities of the JWG constitute an adequate assessment of the role and effectiveness of the GAC on the part of ICANN? So you can see there's a sense in which we are developing a kind of dual focus. And we haven't really had a chance to adequately look at the implications of that. I think Berkman were mainly saying that we need to differentiate where it is that we are looking as the review team at the role and effectiveness of the GAC, and where we are looking at the joint working groups, activities and draft reports. And I think that's in a way what we would be picking up on in terms of any further interviews with key informants. But that's roughly where we are now. The other change is one with respect to the bylaws. We've looked at the bylaw provisions regarding periodic reviews of SOs and ACs, and there the point is that the GAC is supposed to arrange its own reviews, and I think that's something which we also need to think about. Does the board GAC, how does the board GAC joint working group relate to the form of review required in the bylaws? So that's it. That's on in terms of your first question. In terms of your second question, I think we've got a fairly high degree of documentation and the various forms of advice. We might need some more, but we've got a representative sample of communiques and letters and so on, and pointers from the public input, which I think we would have to supplement from Berkman's work on the case studies, and that would add to that, as well as the questions that Berkman is asking with respect to the GAC. And my sense is that what we need to do is to interview some of the key players. The problem that I see is that we have at least four in the form of the ICANN chair, the former GAC chair, the interim GAC chair and current GAC Joint Working Group co-chair Heather Dryden, as well as the board Joint Working Group co-chair Ray. And then what we've added to that is a kind of sampling of three representatives from SOs and ACs to try and address this question: how in practice does the GAC interact with SOs and ACs? And the ones that I think would be pertinent here are the GNSO chair, the CPNSO chair, and the GAC liaison to SAC. But the problem that I think we still need to address is that feasible, really, in terms of heading towards Boston? Are we going to be able to conduct seven interviews in time or not? So that's really where we are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Willie.
Brian, can I just make a couple of comments?
Peter, then Cheryl.
Thanks, Brian. Look, I just found the Berkman analysis on this very helpful because I was thinking, I think, the same thing. There is a tendency with this group and with some of the others to blur that distinction that we talked about in China, which is the actual review is the board has said it will check on the relationship and improve the relationship with the GAC, and the review has to look at what the board is doing on that. And on the other hand, there's a tendency to go and say, well, how might we improve the relationship between the board and the GAC? And I think the Berkman says we need to focus on which one of those questions we're sort of solving, and I would support that, and obviously I think it's the first one, which is what's the how well is the board doing this particular review? So if we could just clarify that a little. And the second issue is Willie is about to, has indicated that he needs to move on because of his change in career. So at some stage we just need to update people on where that's going.
Well, Willie, could you speak to the, I guess, Peter's first point in terms of the formulation of the questions? And I'm assuming that the questions in your document that are in purple on the screen are the ones that were added in consultation with Berkman. And can you address the thrust of those questions?
Brian, can I just have a quick comment before Willie's explanation? I'm sorry, I missed part of the conversation because I got disconnected by mistake. First of all, I would like to thank Willie because he really did a great job putting all this together again after Berkman's comments. But I have a quick remark on the questions on the JWG report. I don't think this is out yet, and at the same time we're assessing the recommendations themselves. Are we there yet in the conversation, or should I keep my remarks later? Hello?
Are you asking Willie?
First of all, I'm asking, are we there yet in the conversation? Because I got disconnected, and I don't want to be distracting the whole conversation, so... Are we discussing the questions added by Willie in the document reflecting Berkman's remarks?
Yes, in part we're doing that. Peter, you asked a broader overarching question. Would you mind repeating it?
Thanks, Brian. Just coming off mute. Yes, there's been this tension between reviewing what ICANN is doing to meet the commitments and reviewing the subject of the commitment itself, and Berkman points that out. That the issue here is, you know, how is the board, how is ICANN working on the relationship with between the GAC and the board? And on the other hand, there's a tendency to look at not what ICANN is doing about that, but look at the relationship itself and start commenting on the problem. And I think the task of the review group in all of these cases is to look at what ICANN is doing about meeting its commitments, not, you know, what would a good relationship between the board and the GAC look like, unless that derives a recommendation. So, and that's partly in response to the time pressure. If we do the review of what the board has done or what ICANN has done, much of that will be looking at the joint working group and the output of that, and is that a sufficient way of meeting that commitment, I think should be more of the focus. I haven't here in Finland seen if Willie has posted something in the last couple of days in relation to changing the questions. I haven't seen that. That may well address the point. And there's obviously been a lot of good work done. But I'm just trying to make sure that the focus of the review stays on reviewing what ICANN has done to meet its commitments.
Well, Peter, this is Larry. Let me ask you a hypothetical, which is, let's suppose that we were to conclude that the board has done a terrible job in the GAC relationship because it's never asked for advice and it's never defined what advice is. How do you avoid speaking to the merits when you're also looking at the question of whether or not they are adequately overseeing the relationship? I don't see how you separate the two on a lot of these.
That may be right. So I think what I was picking up on, I suppose, was the Berkman noting this approaches to this. I said, you know, you can't actually give advice unless you understand the problem, and that does include looking at what a good relationship might look like. My worry is that we just get clear what it is that the review team is doing, on that. If one is the recommendations as to how to fix things, that may be the way that you approach it.
Well, I'm just suggesting that even to answer the limited question that you put forward, there's no way you don't get into the merits of the issue in trying to assess how well the board has done vis-a-vis the GAC. I just don't know how you can completely separate the two. But I tend to agree with you that our first focus is on, you know, what is the board doing?
Okay, I think we're probably on the same page. I think we're trying to work out how to do this best and in the time available. And I guess I'm trying to resist the inclination to sort of treat this as an exercise starting from scratch that sort of says, you know, what would a good GAC board relationship look like? I think that obviously has to form part of any recommendations. But I really want to make sure that, in terms of limited time and resources, we start from, well, what did the board say it was going to do? What has it done? How good is that? And is that getting close to what's required? I think that as long as that first part is covered, that'll take us a long way into the second. But I agree with you, Larry. These things aren't. It's not two completely independent questions. They are related. I guess
right.
I'm talking about where focus has to start.
And Peter, this is Brian. I know you don't have the benefit of the Adobe screen in front of you, so you can't see the questions. But you know, I'm looking at them myself and not seeing how they're running afoul of what your stated concerns are. But by all means, if you see something that you think is running off in the wrong direction, flag it and bring it to our attention when you have a chance to look at the document.
Thanks, Brian. I will.
Thanks very much. Okay, Willie, I think you wrapped up, but just want to reiterate, if you can share, if you haven't already, the list. I think you have the intended interviewees by Working Group 2 with the list, so we know what that universe is. Again, I'd like to compile a single list so I know the entirety of the review team, who the outreach is going to, and share that with Berkman.
Yeah, sure, Brian. I think I've posted the draft list to the list. But as I say, we haven't, as a working group, had an opportunity to consider it and decide whether it's too many or too few. One thing that I just wonder about in terms of time pressure, and this is perhaps a broader point is whether at some point the review team might have to consider whether a public comment period is actually feasible before Cartagena. I'm just putting that in as a something to think about, in the sense that just looking at the work and the timing around the Berkman report and so on, it does seem to me that we might be under too much pressure and may, in fact, need to use the time between the Boston meeting and Cartagena to wrap things up and get things set. So that's just my two cents on that.
No, thank you for that, Willie. Obviously, it's top of mind for everybody, that process properly. We are on a short time. My sense is that if there's nothing that holds us back or interrupts the workflow of the working groups, and people can do their interviews, that we are on a schedule that is doable. But I take your suggestion and your thought, and let's see where we are in the first week of October for the working groups and for Berkman, and we can revisit that question at that point in time. The next scheduled call for the team, I believe, is 2 weeks out, which I think should be the 4th of October, if I'm not mistaken. Working groups have 2 weeks to go through the interview process, pull together their data, and you know, complete these drafts. Certainly by that call, we should have a good sense really as to where we are. Your situation, Willie, specific as it was raised, from the
comment that on that, Brian. The point's right. Willie's being promoted to an important position in the government in South Africa, and will have to leave the review team at some stage, and the people who nominated him have approached me and said, can we appoint someone else? And the answer is obviously yes. And we've had it discussed about whether, given the amount of work that's been done and how much still has to be done, whether that's appropriate. And, as I understand it, the non-commercials have said that they do want to appoint a replacement when the time comes. So I just wanted to table that. I don't think it's going to pose anything of a difficulty.
Just on that. Also, I've indicated to the NCSG that I'm willing to help that replacement get up to speed on the process.
That's great. Thanks, Willie.
Thank you, Willie. Okay, one correction, then we'll move on to Working Group 3. I've been corrected that the next call is Wednesday, September 29th, not October 4th, 2 weeks from now. But in any event, that'll be a checkpoint for us to see how well the work's progressed. Moving on to Working Group 3, thank you, Willie. Cheryl, would you mind picking up the mantle and addressing the two questions?
Yes, I certainly will. Thank you, Brian. But I might do them in reverse order, seeing as the segue exists from what you've just said on the next meeting date. In terms of our interviews, we've looked at a list and we've made the first approaches as we need to go via Denise for the staff, which we believe we would like to interview. And we want to do all of these in the week starting the 27th of October, particularly because that's when we've lined up our interview with Jean-Jacques Soubernet, who, of course, is chairman of the Board Public Participation Committee, and whose input and particular responses to the questions is vital for the report we'll be generating. And so in the week of the 27th, we, like a number of the other groups, are going to have a heavy set of interviews. Just at this stage, and the work group hasn't culled or made any additions at this stage, we're looking at, obviously with Denise and David Olive's permission, talking to the staff that have been supporting the newer cross-community work groups, that's the Vertical Integration Recommendation 6, CWG, and also to Liz, Marika and Margie, not only for their role in those work groups, but also the particular roles with the PDP, PPSC hyphen PDP work teams, which is very hard to say at this time of night, I've got to tell you. And that, of course, is the new generation drafting of what the PDP process is and the guidelines that are wrapped around that from the GNSO review process and the implementation of that, which has gone to council and is gone through its public comment period and has come back. That particular exercise is very important because it gives us a dual opportunity to look at the effectiveness and responsiveness of a community in a public comment period, which is slightly modified to the historical one. And so it gives us a point where we can look at and respect and accept many of the complaints and issues we heard in Brussels, but have a clear point in time where we can look at, and now what is ICANN doing in a way to address some of these concerns, which many of us believe are probably a matter of perspective and a great deal of historical stuff that's coming over rather than recent efforts that are going on. Did you want me to also mention, in terms of interviews, the desire to speak to the work team chairs of the GNSO PPSC PDP work team, Jeff Newman and Jay Scott Evans, and obviously from the CCNSO perspective, we thought Chris and Bart were the obvious ones there. From the at-large communities perspective, we've made any number of statements and declarations and inputs into the Public Participation Committee's work, both face-to-face and in public comments. And rather than take the time to interview as such, the at-large community as a representative sampling, I suspect, of how public input works, and perhaps that could be seen to work better. We would just like to perhaps take the opportunity for a very brief interchange, perhaps with the Executive Committee, to ensure that the work team has identified all the correct documentation. In other words, that brings us back to a fact-checking and make sure we've got the right information that's already been prepared. Going back to your first question then from there, in terms of fact-checking, we do now need to look from the Public Participation Committee if there is more than their publication operational policy and any additional materials from their program of work for 2010 and 2011 as listed on the ICANN website, which the their committee may very well have got in draft or pre-publication form that they may want to make available for us. But that's something that we'll address directly with Jean-Jacques Supernay in our meeting. But that does go to fact checking. And then finally, in terms of the questions, which is part of your question one, the questions as framed in our current working document really are a template for the interviews. We may find after the first of those that there is some tweaking that needs to be done, and if that's the case, we'll be able to report that back at the next meeting. Any questions?
Cheryl, I have a question, I guess, for everybody. You know, I had kind of suggested a couple of times, and I just want to get people's feedback on this, that WG3 focus more on board and staff as the, you know, SOAC environment has its own review processes ongoing. And I'd just like to get people's feedback on that. I haven't seen anything come back in the email trail.
Cheryl, did you want to pick that up?
Well, I haven't seen anything come back on the email trail either. What would you like me to say?
I wasn't sure if you had a view on that.
My personal view is that's why we've got such a heavy staff set of interviews. And the chair operate, the community chair and team managers of those work teams seems like a sensible adjunct to that process. If parts of the work team disagree, then I suggest the work team discuss it.
Yeah, I guess, Warren, is the suggestion that the focus be uniquely staff and board and not focus at all on the ACs and SOs processes a matter of scope or as a matter of efficiency?
I think if you go back to my original commentary on this from a number of weeks ago, it was actually more on a matter of, you know, sort of policy. I mean, these folks are, you know, engaged in their own review processes currently. So, you know, are we overlapping them? The second thing is, you know, as we've kind of boiled down to the, in terms of timeline, the scope does start to become important because, you know, we may be just crunched from a pressure. So from initially it was more on a policy level, and now it's a combination of both. But again, I have not heard any feedback, you know, on that proposal from, you know, some weeks or maybe over a month ago.
Brian, Peter here. At the risk of not quite understanding while I'm drinking wine in Finland, I think what Warren's saying is probably getting closer to the heart of a major issue in terms of public participation. I'm not quite sure whether that's the topic, but the thing that's always worried me and worried others is that, you know, material comes in, staff process it, and then it goes, then recommendations go to the board. So the key area of public participation has to be in that area, and if Warren's saying that, then I'm agreeing with him. But, you know, we need to
your wine has done an excellent job, Peter, in helping you to focus in on that key point.
So that's where the you know, I have called for new software, and we're tracking this, and this is the area of my most of interest. So Warren and I are on the same page here. I'm not sure how that fits with what the working group
is that not, Peter, exactly what we are extracting from our interchanges and interactions with the board's public participation committee? And now if there's new software, etc., as well, that's additional facts we need to track down.
Look, I don't know. I was just trying to work out what Warren was asking for.
Warren is saying only do that and don't interact with the public participation other than directly with board and staff. So do not interact with PDP processes in the SOs, is what Warren's saying. Well, or correct me if I'm wrong, Warren.
No, I am actually saying from a policy perspective, let's hone in on that particular aspect of it on board and staff. You know, as I said, I think the other organizations, or at least a subset of them, have their own review processes ongoing, and, you know, intersecting them may not be the most effective thing. So, yeah, that's frankly my position. I haven't heard a lot back, as I said, from WG3 members on this, so I'm raising it again.
If you want my response back, then, of course, what we need to recognise is that in the product of what goes on in an SO, let's just use any of the PDP or just, for example, the vertical integration, how you put a hard stop on what happens in the public comments that actually goes only to the process that then feeds into the GNSO Council. And then may or may not, in the case of vertical integration, be passed up directly to the board via the council. You know what? You've shown me how to draw the line there. We can use that example or not use that example. But I would have thought we're taking a major focus on what we heard in Brussels, which was the community's concern on how their public comments are used to influence the deliberation and decision-making of the board.
Well, you know, I'd love to hear from Eric and Louis, you know, on this as well, and maybe we should take this to a WG3-specific interaction. But I think, you know, you can kind of follow any of this logic recursively to no end. And then the other issue I kind of have is, let's say the ATRT asked the PPSC to change some kind of course. Can we actually do that? Is that within our, you know, the purview of the ATRT? I'm not so sure. So, you know, I raise these as questions, and again, perhaps we should take this offline, you know, as a WG3 item.
Brings me back, Warren, to exactly where I started, which is where I said I haven't heard anything from them either. When you said you haven't, I agreed with you.
Well, I think that's a sensible suggestion. Why doesn't WG3 take this offline, whether it's by email or a call, and resolve the scope issue? It's a valid question, and the sooner we resolve it, the sooner we'll get on with the rest of the work. So.
I actually thought it had been resolved to the extent that Warren's post-Beijing refinement was adopted and is the current framework. But if it needs to be further refined, then make the proposal.
I think actually Brian's redo of the document, and again, maybe we're getting a little bit too into the weeds here, but Brian's refinement of the document sometime after Beijing reintroduced some of these concepts. And again, I don't want to own the, you know, I'm not trying to own the pen here on this. I'm just suggesting that
it's a real
maybe,
simple solution. The pen's yours. Let's,
you know,
let's have a look at what you do with the current working group between DOC framework that was presented at the meeting last week, the brief meeting last week. I only saw one edit which you sent, which was the removal of one question. Be delighted to see the rest of the edits you're proposing, and then perhaps the rest of the work team can get their teeth into it.
Well, I think the edits that we sent in represent, you know, my position on this, and it's just consistent with what I've been saying for a period of time. And again, you know, let's take this off to a WG3 discussion. I would invite, obviously, Eric and Louis and Brian, since he's intimately involved, to participate in that. And, you know, Cheryl, maybe you want to set that up.
Good suggestion. Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Let's move on to Working Group 4. Warren, could you address the two questions on the table for Working Group 4?
Yeah, James, who's on the call, is going to walk us through this, and then we have some additional commentary. Brian.
Thanks.
Warren, just before you start, with the greatest of respect, I'm going to have to leave. We're at this function at the Finnish Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Helsinki, so We've just got to go. I'm sorry.
No issues. I mean, just take a look at the doc when you get a chance, Peter, and if you have any commentary, or that goes for anybody from the ATRT in general, please provide us with some feedback.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good evening there.
This is Chris. I agree with what he said.
Enjoy. Thanks, Chris.
But all joking aside, Warren, if there's anything I can do to help, as always, just let me know.
Will do. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
James, do you want to address the doc? Thank you.
Hi, thanks, Warren and Brian. And this latest draft was posted to the working group, I believe, late last week. And it is a result of synthesis feedback received from the midterm Berkman report, as well as some of the elements of the RFI that we submitted to ICANN, though admittedly we have some more work to do going through that the information that came back in that RFI. I think one of the primary and by the way, while I think, you know, we've been holding the pen on this for most of its lifespan, certainly don't want to discourage other folks from weighing in and adding to these questions. The scope of the questions has changed a bit based on a couple of important issues that were raised by Berkman. I think, firstly, that of the three existing appeals mechanisms that were identified, reconsideration, independent review, and Office of Ombudsman, only the independent review panel was held up as being fully independent, and the other two, the reconsideration request and Office of the Ombudsman, were considered to be more internal or administrative reviews. Berkman actually recommended that we discount those other two because they were not fully independent, so we went back to AOC and took a look, and AOC doesn't necessarily specify that we must only focus on independent mechanisms. So we're treating them equally, but it does shift around our questions, Brian, as if we want to scroll down to the questions section.
So this is Urs from the Berkman team, if I just may jump in here.
Yes.
So there is one clarification issue here. We did not recommend to focus either only on the truly independent review mechanisms, but we suggested to clarify the scope of review. So I could easily see how it is actually quite helpful to consider all three instruments and understand their interplay as opposed to only focus on the independent review. The only point being, let's make sure that the description of the scope is consistent with what the working group is actually reviewing. So we only raise this issue for that purpose, but not to make a recommendation which way to go. Thanks.
So, Urs, this is Warren, and I think this, you know, brings up something that's important, that's something we want to do this week, which is have a discussion directly with you folks, WG4, because when we read that, we kind of went in the other direction in terms of what you guys were recommending. And as we thought about it, and then as we looked at answers that came in from the RFI, and then as we considered some of the interactions we had with the ombudsman in Brussels, the independence or lack thereof of those other two options really came into question. So, you know, one of the things we want to do this week is actually speak to you and refine some of that. So I'll just add that as a comment.
That sounds great and is much appreciated. I agree that, you know, it can play out both ways, and it's important also to understand where we can use some of the synergies between the work we've been doing and your work. So I appreciate the opportunity to discuss that further offline.
Okay, thanks, Urs and Warren. But just to continue and to address the questions, Brian, I'll be brief and not read through them individually, but we have adjusted our approach somewhat in terms of the different things that we will be looking at in terms of accessibility, effectiveness, transparency, and the interplay between the different mechanisms. I think some of these questions, segueing into your question, to your topic of fact-checking, some of these questions start to reveal themselves as we delve a little bit deeper into the responses from the RFI and take a closer look at other materials such as the AOC and the bylaws. So the questions are here in Section 3. And roll down through through the last part here on Section 5. You can see that we've marked up each one. I think that now is a good time, as Warren mentioned, to reach out to Berkman for some clarification, as well as get some disposition on these from the individual members of the Working Group 4.
Great. Thank you, James. And a list of targeted interviewees?
Is that something we're continuing to work on? This is Warren, Brian. I mean, we're kind of now, there's two things we're looking at. And again, WG4 members are invited to provide additional commentary. But one is sort of dovetailing with Berkman in our review of the questions. The second is, I'm sure we'll be going back to Denise with some clarification around the RFI responses that came out and that we shared. And then, you know, from that, I think we'll produce our interviewee list with something that's still under discussion.
Very good. Thanks. Just as you have that list, please share again. I want to have a complete list for the entire review team. So as you get those names, please throw them onto the list if you would.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from Working Group 4?
Not at this moment, other than, you know, any other members who have any commentary on some of the documents or comments we've made in the last couple of weeks or today, please feel free to email, you know, myself or any other members of the WG4 in general.
Okay. Thank you, Warren. Just a note, if you were suggesting a Working Group 3 call specifically.
Yeah, that's exactly the time. I felt it was the time that you might be available.
Yeah, so Cheryl's posted a proposed time for call. Again, I think Working Group 3 has an important issue to work through very quickly. So please make yourselves available, and if you're not, indicate to Cheryl, and we'll find another time for that call. Okay, before we move off of item one on the agenda, one last thing I want to touch on. Since the working groups are in a position where we're going to begin interviews and collecting data from those interviews, we need to have consistent protocols and approach to that. Our default position and operating procedure as a review team is that we do everything out in the open, unless there's a good reason to do it in a closed session or format. So I think that, of course, is our default position. If interviewees are happy to be on the record, then interviews need to be recorded, transcribed, whatever techniques you need to capture the interviews and the answers from that open interview is important. And if any working group member does not have the tools to record or transcribe their interviews, you need to let us know now, and I would indicate that to Alice, and we can coordinate getting you the proper tools to do so. On the other hand, if an interviewee would like to have an interview in a closed setting, or if as a working group member you feel that an area a particular area really requires candor, we could opt to have closed interviews, if you will. So I put together, and it's up on the screen, suggested protocol for conducting closed interviews. And, you know, very straightforward that we could offer that option to an interviewee. And if they choose to do that, then there wouldn't be transcripts or recordings of the interviews. My assumption and suggestion would be that working group members conducting the interview would keep some notes of that, because if you're going to take responses from that interviewee and integrate it into your work, we do want to make sure that it's accurate. Even if it is not attributed to the interviewed party, the accuracy, of course, is paramount. So there are some suggested protocols up on the screen. Does anybody have any issues, suggested changes? Did I miss anything here in terms of our protocols for closed interviews? I'm not hearing any.
Brian, this is Manel.
Yes.
Can I have just a question?
Sure.
Whether colleagues are comfortable being also members of the ATRC and on the interviewees list. I mean, I don't have a strong position. I'm just raising this point to make sure that we are clear on it.
Well, it's a good question. I would think you'd offer the same opportunity to a member of the review team to have an open interview, to have a closed interview. I'm thinking off the top of my head, Manal, right now, but given the fact that review team members are members of the city, at a minimum, we'd want the record to reflect that a review team member had been interviewed. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I'm not sure if that's a fulsome answer to your question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as I mentioned, I don't have a problem. I'm just making sure we are all clear on this.
Right. Okay, does anybody have any suggested changes or edits to the protocol on the screen? Okay, then we will we'll operate under this protocol for closed interviews. If you have an open interview, you should be making a recording or at least a transcript of that interview, likewise allowing the interviewee to check that as well, have access to it. And if you don't have the tools to record that, let Alice. Okay, moving to agenda item number two. We have a half an hour left. I think we can squeeze all of this in. Urs, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
First, would you mind giving us a brief update as to your progress?
Turn over to Caroline. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Caroline. As far as our recent progress, as you know, we put forth our midterm report last week. In it, we itemized where we are, both in terms of one of the case studies and also our interviewee list, which we've continued to conduct. We have done about 17 interviews to date, and we have more in the coming 2 weeks that are scheduled. 1 week left. We have also continued to work on the DNS cert and XXX cases, and in addition have begun outlining our final report. Those are the key developments since our midterm report was submitted last Monday. As far as our interview process goes, as noted in our progress report, we have done much of the initial and baseline fact-checking for the GTLD case. So the many of the interviews that we've done early this week have focused on that process. We have interacted with Denise and her team with regard to the staff questionnaires and interviews. As we outlined in our progress report, we are doing that as a two-step process. We hope to have the questionnaires, we've asked to receive them by the 25th, so early next week, at which point we have a number of follow-up calls interviewed with key players related to each of the case studies.
Okay, do you think the two-step process is still feasible at this time, questionnaire and follow-on interview? Or have you elected to just go with an interview or one or the other in any particular instance?
That's a good question. As far as the staff goes, because that's the process that we have outlined, that's how we have proceeded. So we have finalized the list based on the list that we shared in our midterm report that includes both criteria and the targets for interviews. We've shared the questionnaires. We do expect written responses as far as the staff goes, which we will follow up directly with interviews. Manal has been kind enough to help us to coordinate the GAT questionnaire process, which we also hope to receive some amount of written feedback to. We have also given the option, depending on comfort levels, whether or not a call would be most advisable, to go through the questionnaire verbally. And then with the remainder of our interviews, we have proceeded with calls based on the questionnaires themselves and also, as noted in our midterm report, customized according to the expertise of the person in question.
Okay, thank you. Anything else in terms of your status?
I think that's it.
Any questions for Berkman from the review team? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much, Urs and Caroline. Let's move on to the next item, which is timeline. So we have the next call of the review team on the 29th of September. I've been corrected. I would not at this point suggest that we schedule yet another call between now and then. That's only 9 days. And at that point in time, again, I think we'll have a status update from each working group, how you're doing in terms of your interviews and fact-checking, and, you know, how we're looking in terms of building out complete drafts for each of the working group. Again, on the overall timeline, we want to walk into Boston with basically complete drafts that include fact-checking analysis and draft recommendations for each working group and when we enter Boston, and use those 3 days to essentially kick the tires, to check the analysis, to take inputs from Berkman, to do whatever last-minute integration we need to do in order to have complete recommendations that go out for public comments around the 20th. I have started to draft a wrapper document, if you will. So when we put out the public comments, recommendation of public comments, I've been drafting the document that will contain those recommendations, because there's some introductory and background information that needs to go in. So that should be in place, and I'll make sure that's vetted through the review team and ready to just drop in the recommendations when they're completed. But again, we should have a sense by the early in the first week of October as to whether the working group's work product is in a position where we can walk into Boston with those complete documents with draft recommendations. And so I would guess that somewhere around the 4th of October would be a good checkpoint to see where we are on that. Any questions on the proposed timeline? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the last or next to last item, which is the agenda for the Boston meeting with the Berkman Center. We haven't put together an agenda yet, a detailed agenda. We have 3 days, the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Obviously, Berkman's going to be providing us with their report while we're in Boston. I assume that on day one, at least for the first half of the day, that would be dedicated to Berkman walking us through their findings on the case studies and any other findings or suggestions that they're going to provide with regard to the working group's work. Urs and Caroline, is a half a day, is a morning going to be sufficient to walk through that? Are you going to need more time? What's your sense?
So I think half a day would be perfect. There is one other element that we need to take into account, and that is the availability of faculty members. So what we envisioned is that we would indeed, as you just described it, walk through the different materials that we've prepared, essentially also our final report on Monday morning, and then would make sure that over the course of the 3 days, perhaps in Monday afternoon, perhaps some on Tuesday, individual faculty members would be available to answer specific questions that may come up in their respective domain. It would be very hard to get everyone at the same time in the same room, but we'll do our best to work around it if that's feasible.
Well, that's fine. I guess at a minimum, Urs, if you could work up a schedule over those 3 days for the faculty members when they are going to be available. And if we have that on hand before we walk in, then we can coordinate the interactions with the respective faculty members and make sure that that's efficiently done.
Absolutely, and we've started this work already, so you should have an updated availability schedule within the next few days.
Okay, that's great. And after that first half day, then we're going to have the afternoon of Monday and two full days, which will essentially involve two processes, I believe, you know, checking the analyses, checking the source data, checking the foundations of the work on the one hand, and then the in-parallel drafting of the final document. Again, I said I'll have a wrapper ready by the time we walk into Boston, but putting the finishing touches on the actual draft recommendations that go in will have to happen in parallel. I've already talked to Chris, and one thing I'm considering is establishing a very small draft team for that purpose that may, in fact, break off from some of the sessions on Monday afternoon, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and be drafting in parallel so that we have, at the end of the third day, essentially a complete document that then goes off for translation. So that's the rough outline of the management of the time in the 3 days that I've got. I'll put together a straw man agenda for the 3 days and send it to the list so the review team can take a crack at honing it and polishing it off. Any specific questions on the work in Boston with Berkman over those 3 days?
Oh, that seems great.
Okay, Fabio here. Can you hear
yes,
me?
Fabio. Yes.
Yeah, there was a technical problem. I tried to chip in before, but Brian, you mentioned that you were preparing the sort of the introduction, the outline for the final document. That is something absolutely very important. Well done. When did you say that you will be able to circulate that to? And are you working just as a sort of introduction, or are you also thinking of a format for final document?
Actually, both. And again, this is a document that goes out to the public for public comment. So it's not going to look like the final report. This is really a document that is saying, here are some draft proposed recommendations that have been put together by the working groups. Provide them some background, a little background on our approach and methodology, and then solicit their feedback. So that's what I'm putting together. I do have a particular structure in mind. I should have this out to the list within a day or two for the review and to provide feedback on that piece of it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And it'll essentially, I'll indicate where there's a portion of the document that the recommendations will be cut and pasted into, so you should see that structure as well. One other question. Urs, I did ask you if Berkman itself would be able to make space available for our face-to-face meetings, or if we should plan for that in the hotel. Any update on that yet?
Hi, Brian. This is Caroline. I'll get you an update by the end of today. We do have one room available for sure on Monday, and looking into Tuesday and Wednesday as well.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Caroline. I think it would be great if we could come over to Berkman and work face to face in that setting to have close access. Just let us know what you can do.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Any other considerations on the agenda for our work in Boston with Berkman? Okay, moving to the last, which is other business, I'll just offer that. With regard to Boston, in terms of hotels, Alice, I think you've tentatively concluded, or we have, that the Sheraton Commodore would be a good target. I know you're still looking at other hotels. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. We are still looking into both hotel accommodation as well and the Doubletree suite. I can't remember the name. Doubletree Hotel? Does that ring a bell, Caroline?
Yes. Yep. Those three are right in the vicinity.
Okay, great.
And, Alice, I'm happy to work with you offline if you have any questions.
Oh, great. I'll contact you tomorrow then, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
So what's the process? We're waiting for you to choose the hotel, right?
Yes.
If we can try to be in the same hotel?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, like if we can come up with one recommendation, Alice, within the next
24 to 36 hours or 48 hours if possible for the team?
Sure. Yes, okay.
Okay. Thank you. And any other business? That was the only point that I had. Okay, hearing no other business, then we will all speak again on the 29th. All I can emphasize again, as we all know, is that this is probably the most critical two-week period of the review team's work. Everyone, please do your very best, and we'll be speaking to you on the 29th.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.